This is Nanometrics Economic Roundup.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Economic Roundup, and I am Adetayo Adeshola. I am with Loretta Egba, the Senior Financial Analyst at Nanometrics, and Olumide, the man himself, Adeshino, an Investment Analyst at Nanometrics. Today we'll be discussing about Nigeria's foreign and local debt. Over the course of the week, the Federal Executive Council readjusted the budget from 10.594 trillion to 10.52 trillion, and which is a gap of like 71 billion naira. And crude oil prices have been pegged at $25. And so what is most curious about this is the fact that our budget deficit is more than half of the total budget. And so it begs the question, especially with our revenues dropping and crude oil prices also reducing, how can Nigeria sustain this debt problem? Loretta, do you help us with the analysis on this? How are you?
I'm fine. Hi. Yeah. Hi, Adetayo. You know when you're masked correctly. Okay, so Nigeria's debt problem. The IMF had set a threshold for African countries that we should not surpass a 56% debt to GDP ratio. So right now in Nigeria, our total debt is at 33 trillion naira, and this brings us to a debt to GDP ratio of 21%. The implication of the additional $3.8 billion loan we're about to take, $3.4 billion, is that we are going to plunge further into this debt crisis. And for a country like Nigeria, I don't know how we're going to do it, but times are hard. And it just seems like that is the only option we have right now, to borrow more money to be able to meet up with the challenges of the economy. So what do you guys
think? Yeah, but you know, especially in what the times of this COVID-19, Olumide, how do you feel? Like, don't you think that, you know, it will still make sense for Nigeria to borrow more money?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, how are you?
I think I'm against the European Nigeria receiving foreign debts or seeking more debts, because over the years we've been using a lot of our funds to service debt. In 2018, we used about 53% of our money to service debt. In 2019, it's gone beyond 40%. And the present levels we are in now, it shows that we're going to have another upside in the debt servicing amount. So I think the other ways we can structure this way of getting out of this COVID-19 crisis by investing more in our digital economy, in our education, and going more into productivity services like our culture. These are times that we need now to go back to the drawing board and realize that we can't borrow ourselves out of the crisis. There's so much problem going on in the country. Yeah, we agree. But we think that debt is not, borrowing more money is not the solution. And we should also realize that when it's going to bring in much more inflation. Now, our inflation levels are about 12.53.
Yeah.
And it's going rapidly. The celebrated economist, Bismarck, when we said that we are expecting inflation to go to 19%.
That's huge.
Going to show a lot of pressure on the Naira. Naira today is trading at 454 at the black market.
Mm-hmm.
Shows that we're in deep shit. So I think that borrowing money from the recently IMF loan, though it was given at a rate of 1%, is still not what we need. I think we need to pass those austerity measures, focus on being more efficient.
Yeah, I think you definitely have a point, because you know, over time we spend money on recurrent expenditure, especially when we are funding our budget on a deficit. You know, before COVID-19, right, were more than capital expenditures, and you know, capital expenditures are the ones that actually drive growth and, you know, help the economy grow, not paying salary, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So Loretta, do you think we have a choice at this period?
Okay, so in the article I wrote, what I had said is, if 2020 was the year we plan to fix this our debt crisis, COVID-19 had made it 3,000 times harder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The idea of having money to take care of these people is that nobody is working. And right now we're out of the lockdown, so it kind of feels like things have returned to normal. But the truth is, we might go back inside. The truth is, all is not well. And if for some reason we do go back inside and people are not working, the government needs to amp up their, you know, the packages, yeah, that they're using to help people survive the pandemic. Now, the implication of additional debt is undoubtedly bad because we are only going to plunge. However, where the economy isn't, where we are not generating more revenue, where we are not making money, where international, where our borders are closed, where oil is down, how much, you know, what choice do we really have than to borrow? Now, you're talking about the, you know, pumping into the digital economy. I kind of feel like we're in the middle of a pandemic and the first thing is let's survive the pandemic, right? It is only after people, you have conveniently fed people, people are safe, people have eaten, that you can now think of how can we bring in money to make more money? And which is the challenge with the debt thing. So the first thing is, in as much as I'm saying that taking debt is not necessarily bad right now because we don't have much of a choice, we need to be sure of what we are taking the debt for. First thing is, what are we investing in? Aside feeding people, is the money we are collecting, are we using it for healthcare? Are we using it to think of ways to make more money? That's one. The second issue is, given our leadership in Nigeria, how are we sure that by the time we collect this money, it will actually be used for, you know, what you're supposed to be? And I think that's where my own challenge is, in not in terms of whether we should borrow or not. I feel like we don't have a choice than to borrow.
Yeah, Olumide, what do you think about this?
I still have the same sentiment that we shouldn't borrow funds, because if you look at, if you take a case study of how the economy is going towards the 21st century, we are moving away from fossils, we're going into a lot of digital economy, and that has shown in recent trends. Nigeria, it's time for Nigeria, with a population of 200 million, it's time for us to invest in education. Time to for us to invest in digital economy. If you see the trends going in Africa, most of private equity investment came from digital fintech startups like Paystack recently raised millions of dollars, and Total Wave on the same side. So we see that businesses that have intellectual capability will bring in more funds to the country rather than borrowing. Then you also look at investing in agriculture. About 60% of our occupation from citizens in Nigeria are in the informal, and you saying that we should borrow funds. I think that borrowing funds over the years, what have we been able to achieve? Our economy hasn't even over 20 years ago, we were told that we're supposed to be among the top 20
countries
in economic, but our borrowing has not done anything. So I think from the precedent, it shows that borrowing has not solved our problems. This is the time for us to take austerity measures. This is the time for us to invest in the real sector. And how do we invest in the real sector? It's through pumping a lot of funds into fintech companies, e-commerce startups, and investing in education, going on. Now, she said that people can't work. You can't invest in an hungry economy or a system where lockdown is going on. But I want to give you a case study. Look at Facebook, Google in the last 3 months. Their earnings, their result showed that a lot of people now are depending on intellectual services. And that is where Nigeria needs to come in. We need to make advantage of the population we have. We have about 200 million people. 200 million people. That's about one third in Africa. Mm-hmm. That's about one fifth in. It means that for every black man in the world, about
for every five,
one is in Nigeria. So it shows that we have a lot of potentials, but are we really maximizing it? Then another thing we should also look at is that corruption. Growing funds and using funds, when you do quantitativism, it gives liable chances for corruption. Look at the past presidents. Ribadu said over a couple of years ago that about $360 billion have been looted since Nigeria got independence. That would have done a lot if that. So I think we need to go back to our drawing to be more efficient rather than
that's where I have a question. Because you're saying government should invest in the digital economy, we should invest in agriculture. Yeah. First thing is, do we have the money to make these investments? Do we have the money sitting somewhere already to make these investments? And then the next thing is, you're talking about Google, Facebook, these guys are making money, Zoom. These guys did not start during COVID-19. They were already existing and they leveraged on a challenge that came out when nobody, you know, nobody planned it. They had been investing. The digital economy in these countries was already strong. So by the time the pandemic arose, it was easy for them to leverage on it. Now, for you to say we should invest in Nigeria's digital economy, first, there's the assumption that we already have the money sitting around to make it happen. Next is, what are we investing in? Are we investing in startups, you know, in this digital economy? How are we investing in them? You know, do you understand what I'm saying? Now, is it now in the middle of the pandemic where these startups are inside their pillows that we can now pump in the money to make it happen?
Yeah, but you need to look at that. For in the startup revolution, great startups are always born in times of recession and crisis. You take a look at Google, Facebook, 2008 recession, 2004. So I think these are the chances, the opportunities for Nigerians to come back to dream, but I believe it's skills. Like she said, do we have the funds? And yes, we have the funds. The CBN recently have about $3.4 billion, and I think we can invest part of that in sovereign funds investment. If you take a look case study of Norway, for example, Norway is an oil producing country, an emerging market for that case. They made billions of dollars in investment. They have about $1 trillion in sovereign fund investment. And what they did was that most of their earnings in crude oil, they make investments in stock, blue chip stocks around the world. And this has really brought in earnings, and they grow less. So it means that we can use what we have.
Sorry to cut you short, right? I think you've said a lot of, you know, very really smart things and things to take note of. But you know, many of these things are basically things that these people, countries have done in the past for generations, kind of. But like the solution that as it stands for Nigeria, you mentioned the crude oil, Norway, they have been saving a lot of money in crude oil. From their crude oil sales, basically. But now, crude oil sales have reduced like more than half, especially Nigeria. We budget, our benchmark was $57 per barrel in 2020 budget. Now we have set it at 25, which is even less than half, right? So what are the steps now that we need to take, especially now, because we are dealing with a crisis, right? Where do we get the money, for example, if we don't borrow, to invest in building isolation centers, getting test kits, feeding the people that don't have money, people that live hand to mouth? How do we do that?
But recently, I think the present administration has started very good, laudable economic reforms. If you look at petrol subsidy, for example, it said that this present subsidy removal by NNPC, we're going to save about 450 billion naira. And if you look at Naira, the Naira was adjusted to about 16 basis points. And that shows that billions of dollars will be saved, because most of our currencies have been subsidized for basic inputs. So these savings, for example, should cushion certain effects. Though it might not be enough, but I think it will take us through rather than borrowing ourselves out of the problem.
So what you're saying essentially is that we have enough money to not just fix the economy, but also deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. Because you're talking about how businesses were, you know, so many businesses are born in recessions. We need to remember that this is not a recession. I mean, we're definitely going to plunge in a recession, but this is not a recession. This is a pandemic. This is a global pandemic. So if you want to, if you want to compare, you should probably be comparing to the businesses that came out during the Spanish flu or the Black Death or one of those things. If you say Nigeria has enough money to take care of our population, staying at home, the informal sector, and also revamp the economy by itself, then I'd really like to see the data.
Yeah, but let me get back to Loretta on saying that she still believes that we should grow more money, because if you look at our present state of investments, it shows that even if we borrow the $3.4 billion we borrow, it can fulfill less than 30 days for foreign exchange obligation at present demand. So what are we borrowing for, and how are we going to pay? Because though the interest rate is about 1% basis point, and we think that at the long term it's going to give the world creditors a lot of demand on what to do in our economy. And you can see that they've already started injecting demands on how we should float our currency. And you see that and the reason why the present CBN administration has refused to go into flexible rates, because we basically import almost everything. So this is the time to start. Yes, I understand that it's going to be hard. That's why it's called austerity measures. But if you take a look about, if you take a look at the Germans, the Indonesia, this is how they started. They started after the World War II. The Germans started after the war. They built their economy when they even had nothing. You understand? And now Germany is one of the biggest
economies in the world.
In the world. So I think now, as Nigeria standing right now, I think this is the time for us to go back to the drawing board, design what structure we need to do on enhancing our productivity. Our productivity is very shallow. You know, we need to understand that that is one of the major problems we have on our productivity level.
Thank you very much, Olumide. I definitely believe that, you know, we need to look more inwards, increase our productivity. And also, I feel like there's a balanced approach that we can take in terms of getting getting some foreigners that we can shoulder. And if we effectively, I believe, spend this the debt that we get, we're going to, and we increase our productivity, we're going to get to a situation whereby our economy will be moving in the right direction.
Hopefully.
Before we go, Olumide, you wrote an article on Arometrics about Bitcoin getting to $100,000. Can you tell us more about that? I want to invest though.
Okay, actually, Bitcoin, what really Bitcoin is, Bitcoin is like a digital currency that is created after you do certain tasks on the system. Was created about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was like, if you perform a task, a currency called Bitcoin will mint it out. So it had been going on for years and it got to the upside level. The price got to about $20,000. It had been used for transaction. It was accepted over the world for basic payments.
Yeah.
But what makes Bitcoin very interesting is that Bitcoin has limited supply. So it's predicted that the total amount of Bitcoin to be produced will be about 21 million. But we presently we have about 18.5, and that shows that it's much more interesting than the currency that can be printed as much as the CBN wants to.
Yeah.
And if you look at what happened on Tuesday, there was a process called halving, and that was the time taken to produce coin called ADA.
Yeah.
You understand? So what it meant was that you need more computing power. It means that you need more data to produce, so it became more expensive. So it was a way of curbing inflation.
Okay.
So we see that the upside is that we see that the present level at which Bitcoin is now shows that the value is going to keep increasing based on the macro fundamentals I just mentioned. That
yeah.
So we see that the next couple of years that Bitcoin has.
Okay, so Olumide, as an investor like myself now, you are saying it's a good time right now to buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think presently now with cheap money flowing around the world, I think the fundamentals.
So you guys have heard, get your Bitcoins now. Thank you.
Save money.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Thank you, Loretta. Thank you, Olumide. And thank you, our viewers. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, and have a nice weekend. Thank you.
This is Nanometrics Economic Roundup.